Hello, welcome back to another episode of Seeking Scale. Andy, how's it going?
It's going well, but to really mix things up this week, I'll just immediately kick it back to you rather than going on some tangent. So what's going on with you, Craig? What do you want to talk about this week? What should we do?
We are going to talk about finances this week. And we don't get a lot of comments.
Wait, Craig. First, you at least have to like humor me a little bit and say how you're doing.
Yeah, I am doing good. I'll give a personal update. I am not entirely there yet, but I'm getting very close to kind of just like drawing a line in the sand and saying, I don't start work until 9 o'clock because from 7:30 when I drop the kids off at the bus stop until 9 is going to be my workout time. And because like today, I was like, oh, I'll just sit down at the computer for a few minutes and I'll do some stuff. And then I'll go to the gym and I don't have a meeting until 10. And of course, like you sit down and people see the little green dot next to you in Slack and you just blow up and all this stuff. And so like, I'm just not going to do that, right? I get up at 6:15, kids are gone by 7:30. I can go for a run or go to the gym or even like Saturday, put the kayak on the car, went down, paddled for an hour, was back like door to door. It was like 2 hours.
That's awesome.
And so like, yeah, like I just gotta give myself the permission to do that and say like, you know, I'll work from 9 to 5 and I'll work hard and I don't really take a big lunch. And like, I gotta do that for myself because I love it when I do. I just feel great. But the afternoon just falls apart so often that like guaranteeing that I get my work at end before I work is just so huge that like I'm 42 and I'm just learning that this is like how it should go.
No, honestly, like I've struggled with it a little bit recently, but before we were too close to like baby time, I was getting really good at leaving like, okay, in the morning, I'm going to work out and then like clean up a little bit in the kitchen, that sort of thing, and then get started. And when it didn't feel like there were a ton of really time sensitive things to do, I was okay with it. But I don't know, like I'm usually like more productive in the mornings than the afternoon. And a lot of it isn't even energy wise. It's just because of what you said. Like when everyone else starts working and everything else starts going, like things are going to, I'm going to get pinged about a bunch of stuff. And so recently what I've at least been able to do is like, I will get like a bit of anxiety when it's like, oh shit, like working out for a half an hour, but like, I just really got to get this done. Like this is enough, but like, I've at least been able to stick with it to just like do something for 30 minutes or so. And it's just that habit in the morning, because it's what I try to do with the workday, is just what is the most important thing to do, knock that out first. And then whatever else I get done the rest of the day is just kind of the icing on the cake. And the same with like working out, it's like get that done. And it's great. Like we feel better, it's better for us, all of that. But if we don't get it done, it's like, oh no, I'll do it at like in the afternoon, I'll get that. Just like, no, you're not going to do it then. So yeah, that's definitely something.
And I think there's this like mental strain. Like my email box is the same way. It's like, I don't want to look at that tab in Chrome, right? Because I know what's there, right? But like when I've inbox zero or close, I'm happy to look at it because I know it's all basically good news or things that, you know, I can deal with. But like, yeah, not working out until the afternoon and that just lingering all day. Or if I haven't worked out in several days, yeah, it's just a drag. With the exception of, I joined the rowing team here.
Oh, cool.
Like crew rowing. Yeah. Super, super, super difficult, by the way. Like incredibly difficult sport. Like physically pretty challenging, but like technique, coordination, all that.
Have you done any of that before?
No. Like we have kayaks and paddle boards and we did in France too. But this totally like a different world.
And I mean, just to be clear to you, but also listeners too, like, I mean, you're not far from Newport, Rhode Island in general. And like, I mean, you have Brown, but then it's also like Mass. That whole area is like the crew, the rowing like capital. And I think they take it like pretty seriously. So what'd you get yourself into?
So I'm definitely with the like old fart group. And I don't think anyone that's in the group would argue, but it's perfect, right? Because like I'm a pretty athletic person, but like I barely keep up because there are a lot of people who've just been doing it for a very long time. And like, I'm definitely in the recreational group, and there is a competitive group that like I might graduate to. Like I did the spring session and I just am going to start the summer session like the first part of July, I think. And then in the fall, maybe I'll be able to graduate to the more competitive session, which is at 5:30 in the morning, which will satisfy my get this out of the way early. Because right now it's actually kind of nice because like Tuesday and Thursday, I just have this hard stop at 5 because I get on my bike, I ride down to the water, which is like 5 minutes away, and we row until 7. So like that's the exception is like not just, hey, I'm going to go to the gym, but like 7 other people are relying on me to row this boat. Like I have to be there. So it's all that is like a really good trend for me. Like all of that is going the right direction.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like it's definitely one of the trade-offs that I made was we put in like a nice, I mean, nice in air quotes, like it has all the equipment we need, but like a nice gym in the basement of our house. And that makes it so on one hand, you have no excuse. Like you don't need to commute, especially in the winter and everything else. It's like when it's dark, it's like, no, like it's in the basement. It's 2 seconds away, so you shouldn't skip it. But you don't have that sort of public accountability if you're joining a class, or especially like even more so on a team or whatever else. And so that's, yeah, where it can still be a challenge. But that's why I've just accepted, like, look, like I just needed, even if I could be doing more like productive work in the morning, I still am, but I've just got to get this in because I won't do it otherwise. But I feel like finding those routines, finding those ways to make it a habit is pretty big.
Yeah. Atomic Habits, for anyone who hasn't read it, is like really good book, like just really good. In that
what
respect.
Was it?
Atomic Habits.
Oh, yeah.
James Clear. Yeah.
Yeah. What I'm curious about is like, what are you going to do in the winter?
They have indoor season. So rowing on the ergs. Yeah.
You're not going to put like a fat tire on your bike and still ride there, will you? Or
No. I mean, cause it's like they rent like a small warehouse space. Like it's like 10 minutes from our house by car. So yeah.
I feel like the team aspect is going to be pretty big because I don't know, like at a certain point I've never really done like the class workouts, but I know just like if I did, I would not give 2 shits about skipping it because like no one cares, but I'm not letting them down or anything else like that. Like no matter what they might say to try to reduce their churn, but like with a team, like, no, you are like, if you're not there, I guess they can still practice, but it will not be like the same at all. Like you are really letting them down. I feel like that accountability is pretty big.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
So how do we pivot from this into the bookkeeping and finance discussion?
Accountants. We'll just have a record scratch. Yeah. So, I mean, I think backstory for anyone who didn't listen to, I don't know, 15 episodes ago, maybe you were giving me some shit for recommending Bench on a Startups for the Rest of Us episode I was on, which is very well-founded shit giving at this point because yeah, I'm just over them.
Rob should issue a correction, I think.
Right. Yeah. So I think both of us have moved on to new bookkeepers / accountants, depending on which of us we're talking about. And just want to give our maybe update rationale for why and kind of the experience we're at so far. I think both of us are in the onboarding phase with both of them. And both are like, could be full service financial groups, not just random bookkeeper part-time in their basement in Madison, Wisconsin or something, right?
Yeah. And I mean, I can jump into it. I mean, this was like an ongoing theme for months, it felt like for me. And I think it actually was at the beginning of the year of trying to find a new accountant and working through that. And then realizing, oh, our books are completely messed up. I need to find someone to fix that. And talking to people, not really getting what I was looking for, finding someone I thought would be a good fit. And yeah, like literally like I was in their client portal and they were just like, oh yeah, yeah. So like next week we'll follow up about the sales tax compliance stuff. And then from there, here's what's next. Just like, all right. And then yeah, next week came and went, didn't get anything. But this was also like when I was starting to think more about hiring other positions and like baseball was starting up. And so it's like, okay, like I'm just not going to deal with this for a bit. And then like when I finally like look back, like enough time had gone by where I was like, oh shit, like maybe I dropped the ball. Maybe like I was supposed to give them something and they just didn't like ask again for it. But I went and checked and it was like, oh, I haven't heard from them for 2 months. And the last email was them saying they would reach out in a week. I'm going to send them an email and be like, hey, is everything okay? Like, what's going on here? Sent that, no reply for like a week. And I was like, all right, like, fuck it. At this point, like, I can't let this keep dragging on. I need to work with someone who's professional. And I went back to Pilot. And yeah, just got, literally, as we've been talking, the contract came in. They'd given me the quote. We made some adjustments to it. But I'm going to be going with them where I'm sure they're not perfect. I'm sure I'm overpaying for it. But at the same time, I don't care. I am happy to spend a few thousand extra. If I just know, like, this is a professional team with a shit together and like they're not going to ghost me. And yeah, will I pay a lot if I need tax advice? Absolutely. But like there's someone there that will give it to me. Whereas like a bench, one, they just weren't even doing their core job well. But then it's like any of the tax stuff that was an add-on originally, they just like contracted with some seemingly just like cheap tax filer. And I was like, all right, there's no way I trust this. Now they're saying that they do it themselves. I'm like, if you can't get the bookkeeping right, like how are you going to get the taxes right? And I don't know. I think like that's one of those things where if you would have told me this 2 years ago, I wouldn't have believed you. When your business is a going concern, I would be like, I'm happy to spend $20,000 to fix this problem rather than be like, oh, maybe I can get someone to do it for five, but I'm going to have to babysit them and all this. It's like, no, like I'm just not going to do that. So yeah, long story short, going to be working with Pilot. They will do the bookkeeping and the taxes. If you need to get like more advisory services, you can get that as like a controller service. Whereas if you need, I'll probably need like some hours of that, not every month, but I think up front, probably a handful of hours of that, because like this has gone on for so long where there's just like a handful of things like, oh yeah, like we also switch payroll providers and now I need to close out these accounts with these different states. Like, can you just do this for me? And so they'll be doing that. In long term, you can also get like the fractional CFO stuff. That's not what we need now, but like I like that we can grow with it. And I mean, honestly, the sales process was really good. It wasn't, I feel like it could have gone a little faster, but the, at least like my, I'm assuming it's like an AE, like their notes every time they would come. And it was like, I'm sure they're talking to dozens of other people in any given week, but it's like, he has a CRM, he has whatever else where it says like, oh yeah, like he's expecting a baby in a few weeks. And that's like one of the main things like he's stressing out about with this to make sure the onboarding works. And so like, every time at the start, he'll be like, oh, it's like, how's everything going? Getting ready for that? And I don't know, like, it was those little things that I know those are like sales tactics, but at the same time, if you can stay on top of that stuff, then I trust that like I'm in reasonable hands for the actual service. Because it was also like, when they'd be giving the examples on the onboarding of, it's like, what does the timeline actually look like? What is the first couple of weeks going to be? Like a lot of it will be getting the credentials. And so, yeah, we're going to get Amex, Brex. And it was like the examples you gave for like the actual accounts that we have. And it was like those little things that I think the vast majority of service providers don't pay attention to. And so just seeing in the sales process, like, okay, like they at least have processes in place for their sales team. Who knows how well that translates over to the people delivering the service? Because I know the incentives are going to be a little bit different, but still, like, I just feel like pretty good about this where it won't necessarily be perfect, but it's like, it's going to get done. So yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I went through the sales process with Pilot as well and was really impressed with the sales process. Like you said, like they are kind of like the graduate level, like financial services stuff for small SaaS business or like medium sized SaaS businesses, I should say. And they even say like, hey, a lot of people come from bench to us because they're ready for accrual based accounting and, you know, using QuickBooks, which is like a proper bookkeeping tool and all of the stuff that kind of allows for. Yeah, I was really impressed with them. I had heard some not so great things from other people kind of in financial world who had used them or worked with customers who had used them. So that's why we didn't go with them. But like they do the books for Mercury, which is our bank, you know, and like they have a lot of really big customers. So like, I'm sure it is a good service.
Yeah. And like, I'm not expecting miracles and I know there's going to be, I've just learned that like with bookkeeping, I know there's going to be annoying things like, oh, like you should have figured that out. But I just need to get it done and be and trust that it'll be done with minimal headaches. And so I think that was the simplest way for me to do that. But I know you're going with someone local. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, it really is mostly a coincidence. So we're going with a company called Growth Lab Financial. They're just here in Providence, which was like kind of the tipping thing, you know, like icing on the cake. It was just really nice to be able to have someone local, going to get together with a founder in a couple of weeks to, you know, have a drink. They're a team of like 30, I think. So like big enough to where they should have their shit together, but it's similar to Pilot in that like they use QuickBooks and like have several layers of services that they offer. So like I'm working with like I have an account manager and then I have like an onboarding specialist that's going to get me through the first all of our historical stuff, like for the last 12 months, and then get us started like for the next couple months. And then they'll hand me off to like my regular bookkeeper. There really is like should be just maintenance, right? Because like we have the same expenses and revenue profile every month, basically. It's just like this one little new thing that they need to tweak. And like the best thing about it so far is like we've had several hour-long calls already. And like, there's just a bunch of questions, you know, like, hey, what about this? Hey, where does this revenue come from? Is this annual or monthly? Is this even like the degree to which they're categorizing expenses? Like, oh, this is an independent contractor for what? You know, cool. So now we're segmenting off like the production services with the hosting platform, right? So I'll be much more easily be able to go in and say like, what's our kind of P&L for the production side of the house? And the P&L for the hosting side. It's all those kind of things that like, it's just that little bit better so far. And like, I have a QuickBooks account now, which I swore I would never have, but like, I'm sure it's great in some way. I've heard horror stories, but it is like definitely the de facto.
It's industry standard. Yeah.
Industry standard. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it's completely like portable.
Or AWS or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what Pilot does too. Is like they, Bench has their own proprietary thing in Pilot. Yeah. You get a QuickBooks account, like they set one up for you and everything's done there. And yeah, I mean, it was like, it was just good in the onboarding, like, oh, so like we noticed. So it's like, I have my account executive that I'm talking with. And then like, as we got further along, they brought in someone from the tax team who basically reviewed, I gave them access to Bench. They reviewed it and came in kind of it was almost an hour long call, but it was just like, what's this? What's that? So they could then like get all of their notes together. But it was like, oh, like you have COGS as zero. And I mean, cost of goods sold. And like, that was what our accountant, like the person who's filing our actual taxes, like that's how they categorize things. And Bench then adjusted to like match that. But it's like, well, like it's probably not, there's no like legal concern about that. Cause it's not like as though this is impacting anything in your business, but like there are better ways to account for it. And I think one of the things you touched on in the beginning is like, why does this all matter? And it's just really like trying to paint that clearer picture of things where, I mean, for cash flow statements, I guess those are technically in Bench. I didn't look at them because I just knew it wasn't.
They definitely don't exist in Bench.
Okay. So I was just like, if they did, then I wouldn't have looked at it because like I wouldn't have trusted it, especially like having gone back in and looked at the numbers. But I mean, I would go in Excel and get as close as I could to approximating all of our expenses, subtracting the Stripe fees and everything else. I'm like, okay, like here's like roughly where I think we're break even. And it was like it took me a lot of time, but it was like with a high degree of certainty, but it was not with a high degree of precision. It was saying, right, okay, like around this, like plus or minus $10,000, that's our break even spot. I don't need to be more specific than that, but it would have been nice to. It would have been nice to have someone else who like can say, well, you're forgetting about this, or oh, did you look at this as well? And so that's like one of the big things I'm looking forward to is just that. But we frankly haven't done a ton with annual plans. I've made a shift probably like earlier in the year to start promoting a little bit more during the trial, where if you sign up for an annual plan during the trial, you get a significantly discounted rate, but that's it. Like we literally, like once you become a customer, we never mention it again. I don't even think there is a way to upgrade to the annual plan in the account, but we want to like push more on that, especially like a high churn industry. That's something we could do better with, but it really impacts cash flow. Okay, like when am I actually getting this money, and then like how should I think about budgeting? And that's where like the accrual counting, all of that matters more. And frankly, I don't think any of that stuff is going to like sway our day-to-day decisions much, but it will make a difference, and it will just give us much more confidence. So like if we're making W-2 hires, I want to know that like my numbers are real, and this is like the cash we actually can account for, and it's actually coming in the door. So that's sort of why I'm looking for it. I mean, the biggest reason is like, we have to do this. We have to pay taxes. We have to file taxes and all of that. But the secondary reason is just planning is really hard when we just have this sort of opaque dashboard to look at. And so getting more insight there is going to be pretty big.
Yeah. I think it's like timely and accurate and relevant financials. Like that's the thing. It's like they'll give us our financials by the 15th of each month. I think Bench or Pilot offered like the same.
Yeah, thing. That they said.
Whereas
that.
Like just this week, I was getting my January stuff from Bench just because I asked. I was like, hey, what the fuck is like this stuff? Because I need to report some of this stuff. And they're like, oh, yeah, we needed this, you know, thing. And we moved this over here and it was wrong. So I had to ask them, like, why did you do this with an investment that we took in, you know, May of last year? And it's like, oh my God. Anyways, but like, yeah, I mean, I think it's decisions for us to make, but then also like, we are not going to run these businesses forever. And I'm not selling Castos and we don't have any plans on it and any of that kind of stuff. But like, when the time comes, someone who has a ton of experience is going to look at your books. And if they're wrong or they're weird or whatever, like, that's going to derail any kind of progress you might have. Whereas if your books are squeaky clean and easy to understand, it's going to take that objection away from a prospective buyer. And like, you're going to have to do it forever, right? Like they're going to want 5 years of financial information. So you might as well start now with as good a books as you can get. That's one of the reasons is like, I want to make better decisions now. I think this is going to help, but it's also going to put us in a position in a few years when we're ready to sell to say like, okay, this is what this company looks like from a financial perspective. And even like you were talking about like the other financial services, like, yep, Growth Lab offers like CFO services and financial, gosh, what do they call it? Like financial advisory kind of services almost, where like they help you do projections and budgets and stuff like that. And like, I had a call with that team last week and I was like, look, this sounds great, right? But like, we just need to get to like where we understand where we are now, you know? And then like in the fall, maybe we can talk about where we're going. And it's embarrassing to like run a couple million dollar business and not know what the hell is going on. But like, I feel really good that like we have the people that can help us do that now. And then you can layer on kind of within that team to where like hopefully all the information is like kind of vertically oriented to where, or integrated to where like the CFO person or the financial advisor person knows the bookkeeper and they can ask the questions about, hey, like what the hell is this thing? So you're not like translating everything. And to some degree, like a language that I don't speak, you know, which is, you know, accounting and bookkeeping and stuff. So I'm happy that we both have settled on a service that's kind of vertically oriented, integrated like this, and is able to help us now and in the future, you know, whatever that means.
Yeah. I mean, I took financial accounting literally 3 times in college. And the last time it was online and I just had my friend take it for me, who's also now one of the partners in the business. So when you say it's like over your head, it's like, yeah, like I've tried multiple times. I think I dropped out of school at one point and that was when I took it the second time. Yeah. So like this stuff is way over my head. I get the principles of it, but like, I'm not going to do the work. I'm not going to do the math out. I'm not going to figure all this shit out, but like, I want to find someone who can. I'm like, oh yeah, like I understand the principles of it. And that's really what I think is important for us, as long as we partner with someone who can do those details.
Yeah.
And Julian, yeah, who's one of the partners in the company, I think is a bit beyond the scope of doing our books at this point. So Pilot will have to do. But yeah, nice. I don't know. It's one of those things where it's just like nice to get. It just feels good to be like, okay, like this is taken care of. And it's not as though I'll never have to think about it again. But nowhere near as much effort as I had to put into this before. And that's why I think as you grow, you realize just how expensive cleaning up messes is from your time. And the opportunity cost is the biggest thing. Like I frankly believe that Bench costs us like 6 figures. Not necessarily in terms of like cash in the bank. Absolutely, in terms of like valuation, just because of the things that like I couldn't pay attention to other things because I had to clean up all these other messes because like legally these have to be in order. And so I think it's like you don't want to prematurely scale or anything like that, but getting the stuff taken care of sooner rather than later is really important in my opinion. And I would do it very differently if I were to do it again.
Yep. Two things, one on this and one kind of tangent. I think that I plan on spending a lot more time on this than I did before because with Bench, I was spending so little time because they don't ask any questions, you know? Right. Like I'm happy now for my bookkeeper to be like, hey, what about this? And hey, what about this? And tell me what this is to where like things will be right to where I don't have to spend time on it later. Because I think if we, you know, if we were going through an acquisition right now, I would have to go redo all of our books probably, right? Because it's just so.
Yeah. So we are getting our books from 2021 redone.
Yeah. So I plan on spending a little more time, but then it'll be right to where I have to spend less time in the future. The other is like a complete tangent, but like I'm going to toot our own horn or my own horn. We officially, Castos runs entirely on renewable energy now, which is really cool. So we calculated our energy usage for the year. So we worked with Stripe Climate on this, calculated our energy usage for the year, both like infrastructure, hosting providers, all that kind of stuff, our team, where they work, how they get to work, all that kind of stuff, and then bought renewable energy credits for about two times what our average, our annual energy usage is. And so, yeah, we're green. We're lean, green, fighting machine. It was really cool. It was not super expensive. It's like a few hundred dollars a year. So, yeah, really cool. Got to add the little badge to the site and just feel really good about it.
Does the badge have a link?
The badge has a link to kind of a blog post, like an internal blog post that we wrote a while ago.
Oh, but you're not like linking to like their site? I wasn't sure if it was like a big SEO play for the green energy company.
We have a link on that blog post back to the, yeah. So it's pretty cool. Yeah, pretty cool. For a long time, we've been contributing 1% of sales to Stripe Climate, which is like a proactive like carbon capture initiative. It's not like buying carbon offsets, but like they invest in technology to capture carbon, which is cool. But then buying the renewable energy credits lets us kind of say that we run on renewable energy.
I've honestly just always been skeptical of that stuff, but I feel like this is definitely like the appeal to authority fallacy, but I do feel like knowing that Stripe puts a stamp of approval on it makes me less skeptical.
Totally. Totally. Yeah.
We don't need to go deep into this, but like, what was the driving factor? Just like a good thing to do, the right thing to do?
Yep.
All right. Well, Saberstone has not done that, but maybe at some point. We use a lot of energy, though. Our bills might be a little bit different, but I don't know. We'll see. I'll talk to the guys about it.
Yeah. Cool. Well, everyone, thanks for listening. Hope this is interesting. Like, I think finance is something that a lot of us want to shy away from, but for me at least, like when you do get in front of it, understand it, it's actually really empowering. So hopefully this is interesting for Andy and I to talk through. Definitely we'll keep everyone updated on both kind of how Pilot is going for Andy and how Growth Lab is going for me. Anyone has any questions, shoot us a message, podcast@seekingscale.com.
Thanks, everybody.